I invite you to turn to Proverbs as we confess our sins this morning. We'll look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." This is the word of God, brothers and sisters. This proverb teaches us two simple things. It teaches us that it is both sinful and dangerous to isolate yourselves from community, particularly the community that God has ordained for you to be a part of, which would be chiefly your family and your church, the body of Christ. So these things, when we isolate ourselves, we're seeking our own desires, which is a sin, and we are turning against sound judgment, wisdom, which calls us to community. Now I want us to think about the idea of community in general, briefly. The Bible says that each of us are made in the image of God. Our God is a God of community. Our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been in community, in communion, for all of eternity. Our God has never been alone. And we were not created to be alone either, brothers and sisters. We were created to be together. When God created Adam, everything was really good, except for one thing. Eve was not there. He was alone. And so God creates Eve, this counterpart, to be with him, which is that first example in the scriptures of God creating community, the community of a marriage. And then from that comes the community of a family, and then from that comes the community of the church, the body of Christ that is called out from the world. And so this is what God does, and he has created us in his image for community, but as we know, sin destroys community, doesn't it? Sin destroys families. Sin rips apart churches, and sin creates absolute havoc and chaos in society. Sin destroys community. But Jesus Christ restores community, because this is what we were made for, and Jesus fixes these things that are broken and makes them the way they were supposed to be once again. And so the way that Jesus recreates community is through his saving, redeeming work. And he fixes what we ourselves cannot fix. We can't fix these broken families. We can't fix communities that are falling apart. We can't fix society, but Jesus can. And he creates community such as is described in Ephesians 4. Listen to how Ephesians 4 describes what Jesus does to recreate community. Verse 31. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Verse 32 describes the essential things that create community, that allow community to continue, when we are kind, when we are tender-hearted, when we forgive one another. Without those things, we don't have much community. It doesn't last very long. So this is what our Lord Jesus Christ does. He recreates community. But what is this proverb getting at? I wanted to think about community in general, but I want to narrow in to what the proverb is warning us about, and that is the tendency we have to self-isolate from others. That's the issue that's in this proverb. So let's go back to the proverb here. "Those who isolate themselves seek their own desire." They're self-focused, they're self-oriented, they're out for themselves, which does not lend itself to making community, does it? If everybody's out for themselves, community isn't happening. And then secondly, those who isolate themselves rage, it says, rage against sound judgment. They're fighting against wisdom, tooth and nail, because wisdom calls them to community, to relationship. So what kind of isolation happens? What sort of isolation are we tempted towards? I think, first of all, we are tempted to isolate ourselves within the family itself. Because of our own selfish desires, sometimes we isolate ourselves from our fathers and our mothers, our siblings, our grandparents. We separate, we pull back from relationships because relationships get in the way of our own interests. We can't seek our own things. Relationships require love to work. And so we pull back from that. We say, no, thank you. I want to seek my own desires. So we isolate in the family. People also isolate from the church when they, on one hand, completely absent themselves from the body of Christ and say, I'm good. I'll do the Christian life on my own. I don't need the body of Christ. Thank you very much. Because the body of Christ will get in the way of my own interests and desires. I'll be accountable to them. And so people separate themselves from the body of Christ, from the shepherds of the church of Jesus Christ that are called to guide them and help them in the Christian life, and they isolate themselves and they rage against wisdom. And so I want us to consider, where in our own selfish desires do we isolate from relationships? Where are we tempted towards these things? It is because of a lack of love that we isolate ourselves from relationships. Now, we've seen this, perhaps, as the tip of the iceberg in the modern world with technology, right? If you've probably gone into a restaurant, you see five people around a table, and everybody is not looking at each other, but they're looking at their phones. Now, that's not just the only example of isolation. It's just a good picture of the isolation of the modern world, isn't it? We are the most networked, the most connected generation, and we are so lonely. And we're so lonely because we seek our own desires rather than loving one another and enjoying real relationship. And so that's one example of this pattern of self-isolation, when we can all be in the same room and have nothing to do with each other at all. And so how do we deal with this problem? How do we see this problem in our own lives? I think we as members of families need to consider, how do I isolate myself from my family? Fathers, when you come home from work, do you treat it as your own time? You've earned it. It's yours. You do not need to engage with anyone because you've worked all day. You're isolating yourself from your wife. You're isolating yourself from your children who need your love, who need your care. Wives, do you see, and mothers, do you see your children as robbing you of your time? It's yours. And they're getting in the way of your time. Or are you called to love them, called to pour yourself out for them at every point? Young people, do you regularly isolate yourself from your family because you're more interested in your own leisure, your own recreation? And I'm not saying that time alone is sinful. Of course not. There's proper times of solitude. There's times that we need to be alone. And nor am I trying to bind your conscience on the exact use of your hours. That's for you to humbly seek the Lord on. But I am calling each of us to prayerfully examine your pattern of life. Do you isolate? Do you selfishly seek your own desires to the exclusion of others? To the lack of love that you ought to have for those in your family? I know that in my teen years, I tended to absent myself from spending time with my family. I'd be interested if it interested me, but I'm not going to be there otherwise. And I regret that. I regret that I had these opportunities to pour myself out in love, and yet I didn't because I isolated myself. I sought my own desires. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, don't waste the opportunities to love and to enjoy the relationships that God has given us because you're seeking your own desires. Secondly, we can isolate from the church. We must love the body of Christ and see the body of Christ as a great blessing to us. The body of Christ is not a burden, it is a privilege. And the relationships that we have with one another are a privilege. To think that you can send an email out for prayer and say, I have this need here and I'm struggling with this, and that perhaps 10 or 20 people would respond and offer help, whether prayer, whether physical aid, whether a meal, whatever it is your need. What an amazing privilege that is. Why would you isolate yourself from that? Not only are you seeking your own desire, but you're raging against sound judgment. Here is wisdom. Here's what God has given you. And think about how closely God brings us into community. He brings us into a body. The hand to be connected to the arm is a very close relationship. That's what he's given us here in the body of Christ. And so this morning we confess that because of our own self-interests, we tend to isolate. We have self-isolating tendencies where we pull back from relationship because we want to seek our own interests. And as members of the body of Christ, we confess that we sometimes avoid relationship because we don't want to be known. We don't have interest in loving others because that would be too hard. It might involve sacrifice, which is very unpleasant to our flesh. And so let us pray that the Holy Spirit would help us crush these self-centered tendencies to walk in love and to enjoy the privilege of relationship in community that God has given us, and that we would no longer have selfish hearts, but loving hearts, drawn to one another. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do come to you asking for forgiveness through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would forgive us for isolating ourselves from others, seeking our own desires. We see that your word says that to do this is foolish and sinful. We ask that you would forgive us of our self-centeredness. Cleanse us of these things, O God. Holy Spirit, enable us to kill these self-centered desires that drive us to isolate, and instead give us great love for one another and give us gratitude for our families, for our church, for our friends that you've given. May we embrace them in love and seek the interests of others, not just our own interests. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.